This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I'm going to expose a truth to you, and I consider this topic one of the most important topics that I've ever addressed, because if you understand the dynamics of this topic, you can live a life of freedom and you can be released to be everything that God has called you to do. And it actually goes farther than that. America, to say the least, is in peril. America has been targeted for destruction. If you're not aware of that, if you're not cognizant of that, then I would suggest to you that you are in a form of social engineering or propaganda or scientific mind control or whatever you want to call it. The clock is ticking for America. And right now we are in the acceleration phase of a long-term psyop battle that is designed to destroy, by intention, to destroy Judeo-Christian America, what's left of Judeo-Christian Europe or some of the Western nations. Make no mistake about it, in their own writing, in their own best-selling books, in their own publications, in their own international globalist conferences, they have said what I'm going to tell you out in the open, over and over and over again. And if anybody was paying even a minimal amount of attention to what they were saying, then they would be roused into soberness, awakeness, and intelligent, law-abiding, peaceful action. Now, that's why on today's program, I consider it one of the most important truths that I've ever exposed or addressed with you. It's not that I have not dealt with this topic before, because I have. I've spent, well, if you want to count the actual time period that this area of research became a reality to me, it was in third grade. Now, you may say, well, what is he talking about? Well, that is only a strange remark if you grew up in a household, or if you grew up in a society, or if you went through the, what I call the mind control factories, the educational system. If you are simply the product of their cybernetic input, then yes, what I just said would be strange and perhaps unbelievable. But you know, when you examine the lives of people that spend their time thinking, researching, seeking out documentation for facts, when you examine the lives of the people that are currently ruling our world, you discover when you go to the other side of the fence, so to speak, you discover that there is a smaller percentage of the population, commonly known as the globalist elite or the Luciferian elite. My remarks would not be strange to them at all. Let's take this guy, Yuval Noah Harari, who is the right-hand man to Professor Klaus Schwab of the Global Reset. Now, Harari, in my opinion, is a genius, but he's an evil genius, and that means he's warped, and that means his mental power, his cognitive abilities have been harnessed to accomplish great global acts of evil. None of this, by the way, is what God wants. Not even for a moment does God want this. And if you somehow have developed the erroneous theology or the false doctrine in your mind because you have sucked into your mind and life the fruit of very bad Bible teaching from evangelical, so-called evangelical and so-called Bible-believing Christians. If you have eaten from that forbidden fruit, and yes, it is a forbidden fruit, just as what God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. It was forbidden by God for them to eat that. And yet we know what happens. Eve was tempted by Satan, who was inhabiting a reptilian type of being. And she succumbed to what was called the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles of the devil can be translated as the logic, the rationale, the persuasive arguments, the salesmanship, the hypnotic, the conversational hypnosis that this serpent of old used on both Eve and Adam. And he coerced them by using one of his primary giftings, which is called in the Bible the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil. And those specifically are mental, logical, rational, verbal, cognitive strategies that give the devil and his followers an advantage in the spiritual, psychological battlefield, because they have bothered to take the time to train themselves in a kind of jiu-jitsu or karate of verbal attack, debate attack. They developed it to such a high level that it's like being pummeled with karate chops and Eastern means of aggressive physical defense, except this is a verbal defense. And remember, and let's never forget this, when you read the book of Revelation and the New Testament and the Old Testament, you see that Satan's primary power lies in his ability to coerce, to persuade, to utilize the wiles of the devil, and to initiate and succeed in causing people, mankind, men and women, to fall under a great spiritual and intellectual deception known as the great apostasy, which speaks in reference to the great falling away from the truth by those that call themselves Bible-believing Christians. So, where we're going to go today on the Paul McGuire Report is we're not going to revisit old truths. We will acknowledge some of the foundational truths that I've been teaching on this program for decades. But on today's program, we're going to do the deep dive. We're going to go to, like that old, old movie, Journey to the Center of the Earth. We're going to go where no man has gone before. We're going to do a deep dive to uncover the primary mechanisms, the primary Luciferian and satanic strategies that are being employed right now as you and I are in the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So these techniques, these wiles of the devil, this apostasy is not something that just came up from nowhere in the morning mist. The apostasy is the strategic, targeted result of Lucifer's art of deception. And the primary target for Lucifer is what Lucifer considers the soft target, which is the Church of Jesus Christ, which has rejected the Word of God, has rejected the mind of Christ, and has cast aside its spiritual armor in the time of the battle, where the battle is raging the fiercest. So this program today on the Paul McGuire Report, I consider one of the most important programs I've ever delivered. And I ask you to record it, to send it to your friends through links, to take notes, and to listen to it over and over again until this truth that I'm sharing with you is not merely a matter of mental assent. In other words, you're not just going to agree with it intellectually. You're going to move from that perspective to actually taking ownership and responsibility for the most powerful spiritual truths that Jesus Christ talked about, the truths that will set you free. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Fasten your safety belts. Put on the full armor of God. Pray. Ask God to reveal to you through the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, what He wants communicated to His people in the greatest battle, in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And in the meantime, get the information, the data, the facts that you need to beat the devil and the satanic forces as they accelerate their deceptive takeover. And you can do that by not just ordering my books, they're at a discount now, but read them. And you don't have to read them. You know, I never read books from cover to cover. I'll just confess that to you as an author. I find that laborious. I read books aggressively in all different areas and categories. I have since I've been in, you know, third grade or before. But I never allowed myself to become a slave of a book. In other words, who says you have to read from beginning to end? And I can hear people go, well, how else are you going to make sense of it? If that works for you, go for it. But I'm interested in reading to acquire knowledge and power. I don't want to be put to sleep by a boring routine. And so I read, and I'll skip around, and I'll keep skipping around, and I will read a book or the book from cover to cover, depending upon the book, many times. But I'm not going to fall into some kind of cyborg android robotic trance where somebody says you have to read it in a beginning from end to end format. No, I don't have to read it that way. I have to understand it in its context, but I'm going to read the book in the manner and the way that unlocks the power of truth. And let me say this before we go to a mini break. You will notice that when you read the biographical accounts of the people that are ruling the world right now, you may not like them. That's not the point. The point is not whether you like them or not. I'm talking about Elon Musk and you know, thousands of others. Almost without exception, the overwhelming majority of the people that we call the elite, so like Elon Musk and the others, they are avid readers of books, and they read a minimum of a book a week, or many of them rip through a book a day, in addition to their very, very busy schedule. Now, ask yourself, why do they have so much power and knowledge and understanding? How is it that they can do such a multiplicity of things? they can do all those things is because they're not sitting on their posterior vegging out. They're reading books. They're not being dumbed down. They're enhancing their information and their knowledge. And if God's people are going to accomplish the winning and victory of the spiritual war, we need to become not only avid readers of the Bible, but we need to become avid readers of books that actually connect the dots of the Bible with reality. I'm talking about scientific reality, technological reality, genetic reality, historical reality, and so on and so forth. Now, when we come back, I want to talk about Yuval Noah Harari, the evil genius behind the Great Reset, who also, by the way, has from childhood been a super aggressive reader. Okay, you need to go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us, order yourself a copy or copies of Power from On High and the other books I have that are complements to Power from On High, like The Greatest Battle, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, like Conquering the Matrix, like The Day the Dollar Died. I've written 38 books. I can't remember all the titles, but there are the pictures of the books, the covers, the descriptions, the discount available to you now is all just simply go to paulmaguire.us and order it before, you know, the holiday rush. Order it and order it while we still have it in stock. We printed what I consider a large number of copies, but they're selling fast because the word is getting out that the book delivers, which was the intention, and I'm thankful to God for that. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmaguire.us. We'll be back in a nanosecond. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Spread this program far and wide by spreading the link. Learn the material in this program by, you know, a lot of times I will listen to people I respect or I believe have knowledge, but I'll play it, their programs or whatever, while I'm doing my chores. You say, well, why are you doing chores? Because, you know, I hate it when I get asked these questions because I don't have a butler, okay? And I share with my wife responsibilities. That's why we've been married for so long, because I'm not sitting on my posterior smoking cigars, wearing a bathrobe, and ordering around. We share responsibilities. So I told my wife, I said, Chris, honey, you know, I do some of the more unpleasant jobs, like mopping the kitchen floor, okay? But I told her, look, I said, I'll mop the kitchen floor, but mopping the kitchen floor to me is the most boring thing that I can possibly imagine doing. And if you want me to mop the kitchen floor, that's fine. But I need to be playing a tape of information or a program or something. So it's productive time for me, I said. Otherwise, I'm not going to mop the floor. Now, you may say, well, gee, you're difficult. No, because I actually do mop the floor. But I can't just waste my time. So I play a tape, and I teach myself. I just don't teach myself something because I'm, you know, indulging myself. I had to learn about quantum physics, quantum mechanics, scalar waves, scalar technology, Nikola Tesla, all of which I've studied for years. But man, I mean, you know, I'm not a physicist, so I have to revisit it. So I'm playing a tape on this and in repetition to learn what it may have to do with the miracles of Jesus. Now look, before the very few of you are tempted to jump to the erroneous conclusion that I blindly embrace quantum physics, which does have some New Age ideas filtered through it. Look, give me a break. Assume that I'm not stupid, for starters. Assume that I'm well aware of that and have been for decades, and I've been writing about it, the danger of the New Age and quantum physics, etc. And you can see the copyrights on some of the books that I've written years ago. So I'm well aware of that, just like I'm well aware of the fact that there's the legitimate Holy Spirit of God talked about in the Bible, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I am well aware that there are counterfeit spirits, such as the Kundalini spirits and spirits in yoga that come from opening chakras and things of that nature. And nothing annoys me more than I'll read something from some bonehead that somebody will send it to me. And I appreciate the person sending me something. And so a lot of times these articles, you know, they float around the internet for 5 or 6 years, and I'll finally stumble over them. And there's some bonehead wannabe person who wants to evolve his or her career by attempting to take me on and starting from the presumption that I don't know in detail already the basics and the dynamics by which they're going to attempt to criticize me, which is a form of pride on their part. Because, and so what they do in their articles when they attack me, they always have to leave out any data, content, and quotes that would prove to the audience that I know what I'm talking about, and refute their central thesis, which is, oh, he's been deceived by the Kundalini spirits and the New Age. Look, to most of those people, you were still in your diapers when I was going around the world speaking and warning people about the New Age, Kundalini spirits, demonic powers, and that whole subject. I wrote books on that, entire books on that. So don't presume that the person you're debating is an idiot, because that's a form of pride. Now, we are in the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. That's why I encourage you to get my books one after another after another, as add-ons to build momentum and acceleration in your knowledge and wisdom and content, both biblically and learning how to connect biblical truth with scientific truth, theological truth, spiritual truth of every kind. That's how it's done. Now, in front of me, I have an excellent and interesting article from Global Research by Dr. Margaret Singer. No, it's not Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. This is a completely different person. Called Coercive Mind Control and Brainwashing Tactics. So I have been studying and researching scientific mind control and related areas intensively, and this is not an exaggeration, beginning in third grade, when I was attending public school called PS 69 in Jackson Heights, Queens. And my wife said, well, you know, Paul, don't tell this to people, because even if it's true, and I said, what do you think I made this up? She goes, even if it's true. I said, it is true, and I'm tired of apologizing for it. She said, even if it's true, people are going to think you're lying, because they're not going to believe you. And I said to her, honey, the people who follow my program and have been following me for years, they know that what I'm saying is true. The people that will accuse me of lying and making things up are people who claim to be Christians, but who are my enemies. But they're not really my enemies. They're the enemy of Christ, because only somebody who is energized by the spirit of Antichrist could spend their time attacking an individual, not just me, any individual, whose whole life is about spreading the truth of Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. Only somebody motivated by the spirit of Antichrist could spend their lives attacking those people who are servants of Jesus Christ. So I said to my wife lovingly, I said, honey, I'm not going to hide the truth. The truth of the matter is my research actually began before third grade, and she knows this because she's heard me tell this story a lot of times. I said, I would say officially my research began in a big way when I was in third grade, PS 69, Jackson Heights, Queens. And I read the book. I chose to read the book as my assigned book by Sir Aldous Huxley, and the book was called Brave New World, and it was a dystopian science fiction novel about the future, and the vast majority of the things that Huxley warned about have materialized and have come true. Now, the thesis in Huxley's book was that in the future, mankind, America, Europe, will all be ruled by what he called a scientific dictatorship. And then Huxley went on to say that they will be so efficiently put through a mind control process, a brainwashing process, an indoctrination process, that we can program them scientifically to literally enjoy and celebrate their mental slavery. In other words, what Huxley was saying is the sophistication of our scientific mind control techniques will be so efficient that people will not be rebelling from mind control. They will praise and love being put under scientific mind control. And then Huxley added, and they will have no idea whatsoever that they're even under the spell or trance state produced by scientific mind control. And that is the thesis of his book, Brave New World. It's a dictatorship that is run by a scientific elite that uses psychedelic drugs, that uses sleep deprivation, that uses repetition, sleep learning, mass media, hypnotic messages, and an entire science of mind control and a technology of mind control that controls all the citizens of the futuristic dictatorship who have been so heavily brainwashed that they don't even know they're brainwashed. They're happy in their artificial state of happiness produced by brainwashing. They're actually happy to be the slaves of the scientific dictatorship. And then Huxley warned that in this new brave new world, they were going to deliberately use genetic engineering to breed people into specific classes, just like the ancient Hindu or ancient India. They developed what was called the caste system, C-A-S-T-E. And in the caste system, people were sentenced to a life of either slavery or to rule like kings or lower level managers or whatever. And once they were plugged in to their level in life, they were not allowed to leave that level. And it was called the caste system. And the reason they were able to brainwash the people into believing it is they taught the people, the masses, and this is one of the fruits of Hinduism, they taught the masses of people that you were born into whatever class you were born in, with whatever IQ you were born in, with whatever natural talents and giftings you were born in by an Eastern mystical cosmic design and by a process that they believed in called reincarnation. So you cannot complain if you were born to be a slave. You cannot complain if you were born to be abused and tortured, because none of that is by accident. It is all the result of the fact you didn't properly work out your karma in a previous lifetime. And karma, of course, is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, there is no difference, for all practical purposes, between... Notice that you can judge a tree by its fruit. Notice that the Holy Spirit, working through the Pilgrims and Puritans, produces a nation based on the teachings of the Word of God that liberate people, grant people prosperity, give every man and woman who comes to America an opportunity to get in on the American dream. I'll say it again, to get in on the American dream. Because Christianity and the Bible, which is what how America, that's the foundation America was built on, and that was provided by the Bible-believing Pilgrims and Puritans, and the American dream and this the idea of the Protestant work ethic, that if you work hard, you can enjoy the fruits of your labor and prosper in life. All of those liberating, freedom-producing ideas and all of those freedoms came from the truth of the Word of God and from the teachings conceptualized and empowered by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. Now, your average Christian has absolutely no idea what I'm talking about right now. And it's a life or death matter. And I'm not saying this to be arrogant or to look down on someone or to pick upon someone. But if you want the answer as to why, 8 out of 10 Christians growing up in Christian homes backslide and leave their faith in Christ by the time they graduate high school, if you want the answer as to why 8 out of 10 Christians who were raised in Christian homes by the time they get into college backslide and leave their Christian faith forever, you should want to know the answer, because if you're a parent or a pastor or a denomination or a ministry or whatever, God is going to hold you accountable. Wake up, fool. God's going to hold you accountable for whether you lost people from the kingdom of God, you drove people away from the kingdom of God, or you were an effective and faithful soul winner. Yeah, I called you a fool. That's right. And that only applies to that percentage of the audience that is not paying attention and daydreaming and shucking off any personal responsibility before Almighty God. Okay, so this is critical to know why countless millions of American Christian youth are fleeing the Bible-believing and evangelical church. Because obviously that's an indictment, a report card, a measurement of what God, not me, forget about me, what God would consider unfaithfulness in the line of our spiritual duties. And it's a marker of what God would consider being an unfaithful soul winner, an unfaithful Bible teacher, and being unfaithful in occupying until he comes. Now, most of you who listen to me, you're tracking with me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you share my concern, or you wouldn't even be listening. And I thank God for you. Okay. So let's zoom in deeper on this truth. The critical question is, why? Why the mass exodus from Christian young people fleeing the evangelical and Bible-believing church, and now reputable pollsters have indicated to us that the two fastest-growing religions in America are number one, witchcraft or Wicca, and tied for number one in the fastest-growing religion in America is witchcraft, and that is tied with atheism. Notice that Christianity, biblical Christianity, is not even in the running. It has lost the competition. You hear what I'm saying? That's very important to God. God called us in the last days to go into all the world and preach the gospel and win souls for Christ. That's our number one call by God. So if we as Christians are losing more people to demonic religions and demonic philosophies like atheism, we got a big problem here, and that problem is unfaithfulness and being ineffectual in our spiritual calling, which is to win souls to Jesus Christ in the last days, and to especially win souls in the last days in the time period immediately before the return of Jesus Christ. Are you tracking with me? Okay, so why? Why would that be happening? It's happening because God's word teaches us, my people perish for lack of vision, or it's also said another way, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So what we have across the board emanating from the Christian culture and you know, official Christianity, what we have is God's people in America and around the world literally perishing. That means they're being destroyed because they do not have an authentic biblical vision, and they do not have an authentic biblical knowledge. So once again, my people, God's people, that's us, are perishing. That means being destroyed for lack of vision, and my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Knowledge gives us power to win and to be victorious, and without vision, the people perish. So let's not play pin the tail on the donkey. Okay? Do you think that's a good place to start, by choosing collectively not to play pin the tail on the donkey? I think it's a great place to start. Let's not play pin the tail on the donkey. And let's do, don't give me this garbage about, you know, using the acronym and say, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not lose more souls than he saved during his earthly ministry, for starters. Okay, so God expects, nowhere in the Bible and the historical record of God's people from Genesis to Revelation do you read accounts of God's people losing wars, battles, going into slavery, being slaughtered, going into captivity. None of this stuff, none of this bad stuff happens in the Bible historically, except for the seasons when God's people turn their backs on God, his word, a biblical worldview, and when God's people rejected the word of God, worshiped idols, and disobeyed God. It was only when God's people entered into disobedience, rejected God's word, disobeyed God's word, it was only when God's people rejected the word of God and worshiped idols that they began to experience defeat, slavery, and being under subjugation. Whenever God's people repented of those sins, and whenever God's people repented of those sins and began to worship the true biblical God, and repented of worshiping idols, and repented from breaking the commandments of God, and when God's people began to acquire and pursue aggressively, as it tells us to, aggressively in the book of Acts, excuse me, in the book of Proverbs, we are commanded by God to pursue knowledge and wisdom and vision. And when God's people did that, they became victorious, they became overcomers, and they began to win the spiritual battles. So, what is the problem? The problem, as you know, in my book, Power from On High, I talk about all of this, and then I focus in on the problem, and I focus in on the solution. The problem is God's people are disobeying God egregiously and refusing to acquire biblical wisdom, biblical knowledge, a biblical vision, and God's people are refusing to worship the true God, and God's people are disobeying God by worshiping idolatrous gods. That is, in a nutshell, why we are losing the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So we have a choice. We can ignore that. We can rationalize that. We can defend it. We can make up all this mumbo jumbo and this phony baloney theology, which justifies our spiritual failures and justifies our losing the spiritual battles. We can conjure up and twist all these Bible verses out of context, and we can come up with a very convincing so-called theology, which actually defends the apostasy that God has called us to be brutalized, destroyed, ineffective, and basically wiped out before the second coming. And that, by the way, that kind of horrendous theological, false theological interpretation of the Bible is horrendous, faulty, it's not sound doctrine, and it's an abomination to God. So that's the bottom line. Now, in my book, I do a deep dive in my book, Power from On High, and if you don't get it, you're crazy. I don't know what else to tell you. This book is explosive. It's explosive. But you know what? Most likely, I would not be allowed, and I'm a professor of eschatology, Bible prophecy, who was taught Bible prophecy or eschatology, you know, for 20 years in a major seminary. But with the exception of that seminary, because I had a very excellent reputation there, through Dr. Jack Hayford, my spiritual father, with the exception of that seminary, most seminaries in America would probably burn me at the stake and not allow me to teach from Power from On High to their students. Now, why do you think that is? Because it's heretical? No. Because it preaches false doctrine? No. Because it's theologically off? No. The reason the professors and the Christian colleges and universities would, in most likelihood, prevent me from teaching Power from On High to their students, which would end up causing revival, by the way, they wouldn't allow me to teach it, is because I speak the truth in love, which has the net effect of I'm not trying to express animosity. I'm speaking the truth in love, which is I'm telling the students and the schools and anyone who studies the book, I'm telling you why we're losing the greatest spiritual battle in the history of mankind. I'm telling you the root reasons. I'm telling you that God expects repentance. And I'm telling you that God is willing to forgive us if we will come to him and ask for forgiveness. And I'm telling you God is willing to forgive us if we, by faith, repent and ask to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then, furthermore, obey Jesus at his word. And when Jesus commanded his disciples, and by the way, we are his disciples, so screw your head on straight. A disciple is simply any Christian who has moved over from just being a, quote, Christian to being a true Christian. And a true Christian is one who has accepted the disciplines of Jesus Christ. Thus, the word disciples is used, and that's something that Jack Hayford personally taught me. So the word disciples comes from what happens when God's people choose to personally accept the disciplines that Christ commands us to adhere to. And we are then called disciples. Now, there were in addition to that more generalized definition of disciples, we have the fact that the early disciples who were physically taught by Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to go to Jerusalem, and he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until the Father sent power from on high, or clothed the disciples with power from on high, while they tarried or waited upon God in Jerusalem. So according to Christ, who is our Lord, we are commanded by God to tarry in Jerusalem. And for us today, that would mean tarry, you know, where God calls us to tarry. Tarry means to wait on, to seek the face of God, to cry out to God, to pray, to engage in intercessory prayer. And you don't stop doing that, according to Jesus, until God the Father clothes us with power from on high, which means we are to pray to God until the Father, God the Father, pours out his Holy Spirit or pours out power from on high upon us. And power from on high comes from the word dunamis, which means the dynamite, spiritually explosive power of God detonates, and all of a sudden we are infused with the supernatural power and strength, anointed from on high with the power of the Holy Spirit, which detonates inside our inner man or woman, and from that moment forward gives us the supernatural power to be victorious against the demons and Satan and the world system. We now have the ability, because we are filled with the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, we now have the ability to be spiritually victorious in the spiritual battle. And what I'm saying in my book is biblically true, and this is the major problem of the church in America and around the world. The major problem with the church in America and around the world is that it is attempting to win the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. But it is attempting to win this greatest spiritual battle by relying on mere human strength of the flesh, by relying on the mere human strength of our human willpower, of our personalities. In other words, we're trying to win a spiritual battle by using natural weapons or using man-made weapons that are based on the finite strength of mankind. This is our fatal mistake, and it has been the fatal mistake of the church throughout history. The moment we get our faces before God and humble ourselves before God and repent to God, the moment we do that and begin our repentance with an admission and a confession that we have failed you, Lord, because we have attempted to win the spiritual battle on our own strength and ability, the moment we get serious with God and repent of our primary sin, God will forgive us, cleanse us with his blood, and if we humble ourselves before him, and if we ask him to, he will at that exact moment clothe us supernaturally with power from on high. He will infuse us with power from on high. And the moment the church and individual Christians stop trying to fight Satan and the principalities and powers on their own human strength, and the moment they switch over by faith to calling upon God and relying on the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, or power from on high, it is at that exact moment, it is that exact nanosecond in time, in the last days, that we will see a detonation of the Holy Spirit in the invisible realm that will cause the dunamis, the dynamite explosive force of God, to detonate in the spiritual realm, and an authentic and biblical revival will be released, and an authentic and biblical third great awakening will be released. And at that moment, the tide, the turning of the tide of the spiritual battle will begin. And you will see, you will live to see. Your eyes will be anointed by God so you can see it. And you will live to see a third great awakening and a biblical revival to whatever degree God allows. And it will be the historic turning point that allowed God to supernaturally send in his power and angelic armies to release his people from slavery and captivity. It will be the great turnaround. You've heard about the great reset. Well, that's all demonic. The great reset is nothing more than the New World Order. The great reset is a global government, a global economic system with the mark of the beast, and a global religion. That's the Great Reset. It's a counterfeit kingdom of heaven. God has not called us into the spiritual deception of the Great Reset. God has called us to repent of trying to initiate revival on our own human strength. If we cry out to God and call upon him to send us power from on high, clothe us with power from on high, at that moment, we will be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The chains and shackles that have been binding us will be shattered as the power of God comes down from us out of the spiritual dimension into the physical, real world dimension. The chains and shackles that have been put on the church by the demonic powers will be shattered as God sends upon us power from on high. And at that moment, there will be a total inversion where Satan's illusory supremacy will be lost and the power of God will be released. Let me give you an equivalent explanation. The disciples, the Pharisees, the Roman army, but especially the disciples, were weeping and wailing as they saw their Messiah, their Savior, Jesus Christ, nailed upon a cross and die an absolutely agonizing death. They thought, the disciples falsely thought, that this was it, this was the end, and they were in total despair. But the death of Jesus Christ did not represent the end. Death was not the end. The same power that God will use in sending the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit upon his people in the last days is the same supernatural power. It is the same resurrection power that Jesus Christ will pour out upon his church in the last days. And this resurrection power of Jesus Christ will turn death on its head. We will be freed from death and failure and destruction of every kind. And as the resurrection power, this is the supernatural power of God, known as the resurrection power of God, will take what appears to be dead and bring it to life again. And every one of God's people who will exercise even a mustard seed of faith in the power of God, you will, beginning now, receive the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, the supernatural power of God. And the minute you receive the dunamis, the resurrection power, the power to bring that which was dead, to bring it back into life. And at that moment, we start winning battle after battle after battle until the second coming of Jesus Christ, where Christ will return to Israel, to the Valley of Megiddo, where Christ will return to the War of Armageddon, along with the angelic armies, and Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords will not only destroy Mystery Babylon, Jesus Christ will destroy the global government, the global religion, the global economic system. Jesus Christ will destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all those people who accepted the mark of the beast 666. And this dunamis dynamite explosion of the power of the Holy Spirit, along with the armies of God invading the earth, will bring about the great turnaround, not to be confused with the satanic counterfeit known as the Great Reset. We will experience the great turnaround, and God will bring his people with him after a thousand-year millennium, into heaven as eternal beings, and we will inherit and rule and reign with Jesus, new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And the force, the power, the glory, the joy, the beauty, the anthem of worship from the saints of God, if you're here when this transpires, it will be beyond your ability to describe it. Now, let's revisit one truth. Why do the Luciferian elite, the globalist elite, and why do they have so many smart, intelligent, gifted people? Because they read, they study. Going back to the right-hand man of the World Economic Forum, Noah Harari. I was listening to a TV interview with him, and he was describing how in third grade, which is when I read the same book in third grade, he said he read a book in third grade. He's somewhat younger than me, but he read a book in third grade by Aldous Huxley called Brave New World. And he said that when he read Brave New World, it gave him a vision for his life and a vision for mankind. So this whole Great Reset vision that's being implemented, including genetic engineering and transhumanism, is birthed from the dark part of Yuval Noah Harari, who read a book, just like I did, called Brave New World. Knowledge is power. Hear me, please. Knowledge is power. And so he acquired the knowledge to build a brave new world. Now God, by his sovereign grace, had me read that exact same book also in third grade, called Brave New World. Except God used that book not to bring me into deception, but God used the book Brave New World to embed into my personality a prophetic warning for God's people, which is unfolding now all around us. And so nothing surprises me because I've been studying it since third grade. I learned about the transhumanist revolution in third grade. Why? Because Aldous Huxley's brother was Julian Huxley, the founder of UNESCO, of the United Nations, and Julian Huxley invented Common Core, the dumbing down educational system, and Julian Huxley was the first head of the Humanist Manifesto, and Julian Huxley was the first transhumanist. But what gave the Huxleys and those like them all this power was the fact that they were readers. They were constantly acquiring knowledge. Well, God has his people too, and I'm not the only one, all over the world. And it just so happened that Paul McGuire, who was sucked into all kinds of occult and globalist and altered states of consciousness type stuff, but it just so happened that Paul McGuire, that God caused Paul McGuire to read Brave New World and to study all this stuff beginning in third grade, because God had a call and a purpose on my life to equip God's people to be victorious in the spiritual battle in the last days. And God planned that a long time ago. So it was not a divine, it was not a coincidence that I wrote read Brave New World and 1984 and other books. It was not an accident that while most of my friends, Christian or secular, were busy dumbing themselves down, I was reading probably 50, a minimum of 50 books a month on science, science fiction, the biographies of all the great scientists. And that made me weird back then, like I could care less. But I noticed when I listened to Yuval Noah Harari that he was reading somewhere between 50 books a month. And so were many other people that are causing major changes. Why? Why did they have this hunger? Because they knew instinctively that knowledge is power. Now, once upon a time in America, when the Pilgrims and Puritans, true Bible-believing Christians, were creating the vision of a godly America based on the Bible, once upon a time in America, the Pilgrims and Puritans, as young people, they were reading 50 books a week. And they were armed intellectually and spiritually, and dangerous spiritually and intellectually. And my final words are this: we cannot win the spiritual battle unless we get knowledge through reading, power through seeking the Lord, seeking the Word of God. And the moment we decide to quit goofing off, and the moment we repent of our apathy, God will clothe us with power from on high. So this, we are called for such a time as this. Now, I need your help in sending this message out. This is the front line of the spiritual battle. I need you to pray to God and ask God, Lord, how much do you want me to contribute financially with my donations to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church? And whatever God tells you to do, radically obey him. Spread our message far and wide. Pray for me in this ministry as intercessory prayer warriors. And together, we can take back the land. But we're not going to take back the land copping out, retreating, hiding, and doing all the other things that Christians like to do when they want to play church, instead of being the authentic supernatural church or the bride of Christ. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Together we can win the spiritual battle. I need your help now. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. God bless you. Jesus Christ is Lord.